first one had too much detail, and I like detail, and I'm just assuming everybody else does, but I'm not going to put so much detail into this. We're still going to talk about against heresies, against the Gnostic doctrine, and I've been reading the Gnostic handbook this week. I'm not thinking of joining their church, but I've been reading their documents, and I'll tell you what, Satan has used that as a springboard for every false religion in this country. You can see every false religion, you can see a part of their doctrine in Gnosticism. But what's sad to me is some churches have clung to some of it and made doctrines out of it. And it's not only sad, it's a little bit scary. Today, we're going to be talking about light and darkness. John started, you remember last week, he talked about the humanity of Jesus Christ. The Gnostics are divided on that. Some say there was a man named Jesus, but the Christ consciousness came on him at his baptism and left when he was arrested. So the man Jesus died and he's still in the grave. Other Gnostics are what they call docetists. You ever heard of the doctrine of docetism or docetism? It's alive today in Jehovah's Witness. And the docetists taught that Jesus was a spiritual apparition. He only appeared to have a human body. And we talked about last week how John said, we touched him. We handled him. And today John's going to be talking about light and darkness. Our text is going to be 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, I thank you that your word is anointed. When the heavens perish and this earth is rolled up, Lord, you said your word will still endure. We thank you for the assurance we have. We thank you for the truth. Your word is truth. I pray today, Lord, as you prayed, that you would sanctify us by the truth. Lord, if any here today are away from you, if any here today have never called on your name as Savior, then I pray that this will be a day of salvation. I thank you for the apostles taking their time to defend against heresy in their days, and maybe not figuring that we would have to stand against the same things today. Bless my preaching. Bless your people. Open our hearts to hear from you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As I said, today John's talking in his epistle about light and darkness. The Gnostics taught that the Lord of Wisdom is the title that we use for the source of all life. The unoriginate originator. The unoriginate originator. Man, what a title. But the Gnostics teach that he's light. All right. Jehovah, the God of the Hebrew scriptures, and they acknowledge that that's who we worship, we Christians. But they say he is viewed as fundamentally evil, jealous, rigid, lacking in compassion, and prone to genocide. I told you last week that Sophia, when she wasn't in the right frame of mind in Gnostic heresy, she created matter, and I said the universe, and I was wrong. I've been reading the Gnostic handbook, and I didn't take that far enough. He created matter. And since she was in that state of mind, all matter is bad. And then she gave birth to Jehovah. And they said, he created the earth, and that's why it's in such a mess. He is a lesser God, and he is an evil God. That's what they teach. But I found it interesting in their doctrine of the fall of man. They said Adam and Eve rebelled against him. And we went further into depravity, and I thought to myself, that doesn't make sense. If God was evil, then rebellion against him would have been a good thing. And it would have put that man on the right path. But they don't see that. In Gnosticism, only those who are the keen spiritual people are going to go to heaven. We'll get into that here in a minute. Now, they said Jehovah is evil, he's jealous, he's prone to genocide. This is the God whom John calls light. Another attribute of God that John gave, and we talked about that a few weeks ago, he said God is love. And he starts his epistle saying God is light. Because the Gnostics taught that if you don't have the secret knowledge that we have, gnosis, you're in the dark. And they taught that Jesus came to give us gnosis, to enlighten us enough to understand that we had to seek this perfect knowledge. And of course, these teachers had it, and for 1995, you could get it. I mean, that's how that works. So, John begins by saying, God is light, and there's no darkness in it. Dr. Clark says that the source of wisdom, knowledge, holiness, and happiness, and in him is no darkness at all, no ignorance, no imperfection, no sinfulness, no misery. That's kind of different than the way the Gnostics portray God. And remember, he's a lesser God. He's created. Paul told the Colossians, say, how'd we get over on Paul, man? You talk about John, then you jump over to Paul. Paul was defending the gospel against Gnostics also. If you couldn't interrupt me, we'd get this done quick. All right. Paul said to the church of Colossae, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Colossians were buying into the Gnostic heresy, and then they called it the Colossian heresy. Now, last week, I guess I gave the impression that when the churches of Asia turned away from Paul, which he said in 2 Timothy, he said, you know that all them in Asia have turned away from me, and he could only name two people in all of Asia, in those seven churches that didn't. But I was asked later, well, did they all go to Gnosticism? No. They just didn't like Paul's straight-line preaching. See, they wanted to be sinning saints. And Paul said, you can't do that. Not men of the kingdom of heaven. I think that was one of the main issues that they took with Pastor Paul. You're just too rigid. In fact, the Gnostics say God's rigid. The God we worship. And said it was his rigidity that caused him to give the Jews the law. Did it out of spite. Did it out of means. And they said, Jesus, the Gnosis Jesus, came to free us from ignorance, which is sin. Sin is ignorance. I typed that in on my search. I said, what is the Gnostic doctrine of sin? And they took me to a guy named Valinus. Some call him Valentinus. And he said, sin's ignorance. If you're ignorant of Gnosis, you're sinning. They said the word harmatia in the Greek is literally an archery term meaning to miss the mark. And they said, so that has nothing to do with you being a vile person. It just means you're ignorant of the truth. You've missed the mark. So Jesus came here to set us straight. Now, Paul, as I shared, he told the Colossian church, this doctrine you're falling into, that's darkness. And he said, God has delivered us from darkness. The church at Rome was following along with some of this. Not everybody, but some of the people at Rome. And by the way, Valens was an elder in the Philippian church. An elder in the second century Philippian church. Polycarp, I talked about him last week. He was one of the first Christian martyrs after the New Testament era had settled down. Polycarp called him to his face a seed of the devil. But he also mourned for him and his wife. In his letter to the Philippians, he said, don't hate these people. Pray that God will grant them the knowledge of repentance. Because he said, Valens knew the truth at one time. Now he's teaching lies. An elder. That's too hard to get my mind around. But Paul told the Ephesian elders, be careful because there's wolves coming out of your flock. Out of the church. You know, it'd be easy if they came from the outside because you could see it coming. So Satan is very subtle. He slips skin in a little bit at a time. What happens? You get used to it. You get hard to it, and you're not as apt to say, well, wait a minute, that's sin. We shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be allowing this in the fellowship. So Paul's talking to the church at Colossae, and he said, you've already been pulled out of the kingdom of darkness. The Greek there is almost violent. He said, you've been plucked out of that kingdom. God pulled you up, roots and all, and planted you into the kingdom of his son. New roots, new soil, new life. And Paul, talking to the church at Rome, he said, you're not only transplanted out of that kingdom, you've not only been brought out of darkness, but he said, you cast off the works of darkness, and then he names them. This list is not inexhaustible. You see, the Gnostics taught that the human body is inherently evil. The human body is evil because it's made of matter. Your spirit is pure. And what you do in the body does not affect your spiritual life at all. There's churches make a doctrine out of that. They've already done it. Well, once you're in grace, you can't fall from grace. You can be a sinner and go to heaven. You're just going to be a sinning saint. I remember, I won't name the church. I find out that offends people. One church I was in, one of the elders' wives said, look, this. Once you're in, you can't get out. You cannot lose that. She said, if you were a drunkard, which I was, when you got saved, and you go back to being a drunkard, you'll still go to heaven. Because what you do is as the result of a sinful nature or a sinful body. Where'd that come from? Gnosticism. There is nothing scriptural in that teaching, church. And I'm not saying these churches are devil churches. But I'm saying that the church of Jesus Christ has allowed doctrines of demons to come in. And we're starting to teach it like it's God's honest truth. That ought to rankle us. That ought to get us up in arms and say, we're purging ourselves of this old leaven. When I read that, I said, dear Lord, when the Gnostics say Jesus is an angel, that's what they teach. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that too. He's Michael. The Church of Christ will stand up, and I mean the true Church of Christ, will refute that and say, that's heresy. But when they say, but we live in a sinful body, well, yeah, we got to agree with you on that. Who created our body? God. Did he ever make anything sinful? Nope. Never. This body is not sinful. God said the imaginations of our minds is sinful. You don't need a nature of sin, Christian, in order to sin. Adam and Eve proved that. There was no nature of sin within them. There was no nature of sin within the angels who sinned. All there was a choice. And John said to the church in his day, if you say that you're in the light, but you walk in darkness, you're lying and you're not practicing the truth. And see, the Gnostics are saying, we have the true light. Your God is an evil God. He's vindictive, you know, he's hard to get along with. And once you get the Gnosis and get to know the real God, which they say you can't get to know, they just have so many contradictions in their doctrine. But once you get to know him or one of the other people in the Pleroma or spirits in the Pleroma, when you die, you get released from this prison of the body. And you get absorbed back into the Supreme Being. Wait a minute. If I change from him, how come I can't know him? Well, you just can't. He's unknowable and unapproachable. He lives an unapproachable life. I've heard preachers say that about God the Father. Well, God dwells an unapproachable life. That's Gnostic doctrine. That's not what the Bible teaches. I challenge anybody in here to find that scripture and show it to me, and I'll say, well, I was wrong. What kind of a God would say to man, seek my face, but you can't really know me? That would be a mean God. Hey, I want you to seek my face, and I think it's funny because I'll sit there and giggle the whole time. Hey, you ain't even got to figure it out yet. John said, church, this is our... John is writing to these people that were probably converted under the preaching of Paul. And he's saying, listen to what you're saying, church. Look at what you're doing. As I said, the Gnostics taught that since the body is evil and the spirit is pure, nothing you do in the body will affect your spirit because it ain't your fault. You just live in this sinful body. You can't help it. Well, I have an issue with that. If you're right, then it's still my choice of which one I'm going to follow. If I know, through Gnosis, if I know that this body is evil and my spirit is pure, then I have to make a decision, who am I going to follow? Paul dealt with that in Colossians. Some of the Gnostics were very ascetic. Ascetic means they pull away from everybody else because they're not as holy as we are. And they hated having a sinful body so much that they were prone to masochism. That's just a big word, means you like to hurt yourself. And Paul said to the church of Colossae, these people who are so hard on their flesh, he said, that looks good. It looks like, look at them, man. They're staying out of sin. But he said, it does not have anything to do with changing the heart. Martin Luther used to beat himself with chains. And one day, one of his bishops came to him and said, Brother Martin, you cannot beat out of the flesh what is embedded in your heart. Jesus Christ changes the heart. Now, Paul said, I beat my body daily to keep it under control, lest after I preach to others, I myself am attacked by it. Now, wait a minute, Paul. You don't have to worry about that. You're Paul, and you're going to heaven. Doesn't matter what you do. God help. I wonder how many professed Christians have been damned because of that doctrine. Really believed it. And I've met some believe with all their heart. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I had a guy going out a couple weeks ago. I visited with him. He has cancer. And I said, are you going to church? He goes, you know, I believe in God just like you, but I don't think I have to go to church to worship God. I said, no, sir. But if God's really in you, he commands you to go to church. Yeah, I know the Bible says that. You just became responsible for that. And if you persist in it, one day you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ And Jesus is going to say, I'm going to judge you out of your own mouth. You knew that I wanted you in the house of worship, but you didn't think you needed to. Lord, I've had a long week. I want to go fishing. I want to go hunt. I want to play basketball. Excuse after excuse after. Well, brother, our four-year-old had the sniffles and the whole family had to stay home to blow that kid's nose. Real. John says to the church, this is darkness. And as a loving pastor, he says, if you're going to walk in this, you're self-deceived. Jonathan, you gave up the true light for the false light. Wouldn't it be simple if Satan would just come to us and say, oh, I'm the devil. I'm here to drag you down to hell any way I can. Boy, we'd be on our feet in the name of Jesus rebuking that. But he's smarter than that. He comes in and he puts some truth in lies. Because the truth is what draws people. Hitler said if you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. And what's the evidence of that? The Holocaust. When he convinced a whole generation of Germans that Jews were non-humans. And they did medical experiments on them. I read that they autopsied some of them alive. Strapped them down to tables and autopsied them to see the reaction on the organs. Eventually they died. That's because they believe the lie that their Führer told. These are non-humans. They're lice. They're rats. Paul said, throw off the work of darkness. You throw it off. You see, once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are enlightened. That means you have the light within you. Did you know Jesus called his church light? He said, you're light. He said, I am the light, your light. He said, let your light so shine before the world that they see that and they glorify your Father in heaven. We want to hide our light under a basket. Sinners are coming out of the closet. Church is going in droves. Well, we don't want to offend anybody. Is that the answer you're going to give God? How come you denied me? Oh, I just didn't want to offend anybody, God. You know, you told us to get along with people. I told you to tell the truth. But God... Here's the Gnostic definition of salvation. Salvation, a person attains salvation by learning secret knowledge of their spiritual essence, a divine spark of light or spirit. By the way, you can be gods. That's what Gnosticism teaches. That's what we're to strive for. So salvation is not from sin, which is ignorance, but it's from ignorance, which is sin. That's circular reasoning, people. And I can't believe an elder in a church was loopy enough to start teaching this. That is deception. When an elder who at one time received the gospel of Jesus Christ, heard the gospel, and said, nah, I like this teaching better. So the Gnostics say salvation from sin is salvation from ignorance, which is sin. Well, are we getting saved from sin or not? Well, you're getting rescued from ignorance. Whereby is meant ignorance of spiritual realities. What saves you to the Gnostic is that when you realize your godhood that's on the inside of you, that's all you got to do. All you got to do is start saying, hey, I'm God. Where else did we hear that? Remember the conversation of the snake and the woman in the garden? You won't die because God knows in the day that you eat that fruit, you'll be just like God. Here he is in the church of Ephesus saying, you are God's. And if you just realize that, then you can throw all this false Christian doctrine out. You know what the Gnostics call themselves? The Gnostic Christians of the Apostolic Church. They said all of us Christians are ignorant and we're lost, and only a select few will be given the wisdom to become spiritual. The rest of us are lost. I haven't found that yet where the lost go in Gnostic doctrine. He says salvation is dispelled only by the Gnostics. And the decisive revelation of Gnosis is brought by the messengers of light, especially by Christ, the Logos of the true God. It is not by his suffering and death, but his teaching. Christ has performed his work of salvation by teaching us Gnosis. His death on the cross didn't mean a thing. Because there is no sin, we don't need to be redeemed from sin, just ignorance, and you don't have to shed blood for that. And an elder in the church of Philippi was teaching this to baby Christians. Peter said, men like him, the darkest mist is reserved forever. Will there be levels of heaven? I don't know. Will there be levels of hell? Yeah. Yeah. At least the apostles believed it. They said the angels of sin are chained in Tartarus. That's a Greek word meaning dungeon. It's only used one time. Peter said that. I remember one time a sheriff told me, boy, I'm going to jack the jail up and throw you under it. Well, in a sense, that's what Peter said happened to the angels of sin. They're not only in hell, so they're in chains. Double bondage. They're in the abyss where they can't get out, and they're chained in the abyss where they can't get out. And the scriptures say that teachers like this, Valentius, or Valinus, however you want to pronounce it, teachers like him, the midst of that darkness is reserved forever. Total isolation. Him and all of his friends. Man. This is what John and Paul are dealing with, and Peter. All the apostles. This is what the church of Jerusalem had to deal with. This is in the infancy of the church. Satan wasted no time. He said, I tried attacking them face on, and it didn't work. They just kept growing. I noticed when you read church history, when they were burning people and hanging people and flaying people and doing all that nasty stuff, the church spread, grew. When the persecution died down, so did the growth of the church. I talked with a Nazarene missionary that had been to China, and he was going back and taking some Bibles there, and he shared a testimony with us, and he talked about how violent they were against Christians in China and the Bible. A friend of his was pulled out of a truck and shot in the head because they found Bibles in his truck that he was smuggling to this village. And this guy's going back with Bibles. You know, he's going to risk the bullet in the head. He said, God's called me to minister to the Chinese. He said they meet in barns, they meet in sewer tunnels, anywhere they can, and they worship. And he said, one of the pastors said, pray for us. He said, oh, brother, we're praying for you. He said, we're praying for you, too, that God will bring you under this kind of persecution so the church in America will get real. Praying for us to be persecuted? Come on. Are they going to take my lazy boy? And my big screen TV? Probably so. In China, they confiscate everything they have. John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I said last week that there's going to be something here that churches have made a doctrine out of. Here's one. When I was in the Nazarene church, I'd been out of church for 2 years. I decided the church was full of hypocrites, and I didn't belong there. I mean, yeah, that's arrogant. And then the Lord said, how are you going to fix anything from the outside? If you think you know what needs to be done, why don't you get in and roll up your sleeves and go to work? Took his sense. Okay. But I was reading my Bible at home. I was having a little private church service. I worshiped on Sunday. I was on and said, I don't have to go to church. Holy Spirit said, yeah, you do. You need to be there. And one Sunday school teacher was talking about the eradication of the sin nature from the heart of man by the baptism in the Holy Spirit, whereby your heart is pure and there's no sin in you. Guess what verse I quoted? John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And he went, well, yeah, you're right. John did say that. And I went, because I was still smoking my cigarettes, even though the Spirit was telling me not to. I was still smoking joints once in a while, even though the Spirit told me not to. I was still sneaking out of town sometimes and buying me a jug, even though the Spirit told me not to. But I had the Bible to back that up. John said, if you're without sin, you deceive yourself. And I hear preachers today say, yea, verily, as long as you are in this body of flesh, the carnal nature will preside over you, and you cannot be delivered from that till death. That's what the Gnostics said. You won't find that in the Bible. Jesus Christ said, if you sin, and that means habitually, it's because you're sin's servant. I came here to set you free. Did Jesus ever do anything halfway? No. But in the church, we read it like he came to free us from our sin. That's half of all. So we get to hang on to some of that. And we do as Christians. There's some sins we really enjoy and we don't want to let them go. The other night, Brother Wayne in the Psalm study was reading where David was talking about his experience when he tried to hide his sin in his heart and would not repent. And David said, my bones hurt. I've watered my couch with weeping. He said, your hand is heavy on me. God put David under his thumb and said, David, you need to repent. They said, I don't want to repent. God said, David, you need to repent. And he goes, yeah, oh, I repent. And then David said, then I was free. Now I'm free to praise you. I have the joy in my heart again. John didn't mean, Christian, that you can have sin. Known sin in your life and get away with. The Gnostics told these Christians, Jesus' blood didn't do anything to you. You're not a sinner. John said, if you say that, you're deceived. I've said this, I'll say it till the day I die. You cannot be saved until you see your need to be saved. It won't happen. It will not happen. And the Gnostics were saying, hey, we're not sinners. We got the truth within us. You just need to realize that you have the divine spark in you and you know the truth and it's not what these apostles are teaching you. That's all ignorance. Paul called that hardening your conscience. Searing it is with a hot iron. You know what thing the Gnostics were against, which makes no sense to me? Human reproduction. Okay. Doesn't that mean your church is going to die off within two generations or so? Yeah, we just think it's a necessary evil, but we're really against it because matter's evil, and when we're producing more offspring, we're bringing more evil people onto this evil world. See, there's evil, but there's no personal sin in Gnosticism. That's why John said, if say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. See what he's doing? See why I told you? We need to know this. They told us this in Bible college, and I got it all figured out. And when they start taking us through these studies, it's like, whoa, that makes sense now. And I had to eat my words. You can't be out of sin. John said, if you say you are, you're a liar. John said, if you say you're in the light, you're in the darkness, you're a liar. And you don't have fellowship with God. Jesus said, If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? God taught you the prophet Isaiah. In essence, he's saying, I've offered you light, but you choose to walk by the light of your own torches. And God said, here is what you'll receive from me. You will lay down and torment. And we got churches today saying, hey man, I ain't got any right to tell you what sin. You have to decide that for yourself. That's walking by your own light. John makes an emphatic statement. God is light, period. He's not a little part of light. He is light. This is the God that the Gnostics say is evil. This is the God they say created you and me and this world out of spite. He's just in a bad mood one day and just created. So the Gnostics, there's three kind of people. The spiritual, who will go to heaven in spite of the way they live on earth. The soulish, who could be saved if they followed the Gnostic teachings. And the carnal, who are hopelessly lost. And they use Paul's letters to back this up. When Paul said to the church at Corinth, why there's divisions among you, are ye not carnal and act as men, and not as thieves? Paul was telling that those Corinthians, they were lost. But when he started the letter, he called them saints. Sanctified in Jesus Christ. Called to be saints. Called to be holy. Paul was correcting them. Carnal simply means unspiritual. Paul said, when you start choosing sides in church over preachers and doctors and teachers, he said, it just shows that you're not walking by the Holy Spirit. You're walking by your own light. You're carnal. And he said, to be carnally minded is what? Death. Be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the Gnostic salvation is only for a few people, the elect. Those that have been pre-elected to receive that knowledge. Where have we heard that? Only those pre-elected to salvation can be saved. For God preordained in eternity past who would be saved, who would be lost. Luther said it this way, if you're born to be damned, you can't be saved. If you're born to be saved, you won't be damned. The Gnostics say, amen. We agree with that. John tells the church that if they follow this line of reasoning, he said, you're self-deceived. My dad used to tell me, lying to other people is wrong. But he said, lying to yourself is twice as wrong as lying to other people. I agree with that. I watched him do it for over 50 years. I don't have a problem. I'm okay. I just like to party. Okay? John said, if you follow this line of reasoning, the truth isn't in you. He said, but if we confess our sins, faithful and just forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that a one-time confession or an everyday confession? Every day. Do that. Now, I said from this pulpit, I'm not in the habit of sinning. And I'm not. I do not live in habitual sins of the best of my knowledge. But I sin. I still got a temper. And I got a mouth that seems to be wired into that temper. When the temper goes off, so does my mouth. And thank God it's usually at the workshop when things aren't going my way. I'm sorry, Lord. Sorry, God, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, Lord. It's me again. Because, man, why don't you shut up? You know. For God so loved the world. that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's not a pre-elective call. That's not only offered to just a few people, whoever. That's offered to everyone. God says, I am not willing that anyone would perish. For an agnostic, he's pretty much willing that all of us should perish. Who you gonna believe? Yeah, I'm gonna believe God. He said in Isaiah, I am God alone, and besides me there is no other. Not one that I know of. There's God honestly talking to that prophet. He said, you know, Isaiah, I don't know of any other God but me. He's the one I'm going to follow. Would you stand with me? We see in this doctrine, in this thesis that John is saying to the church, look, we preach the light to you. Stay in that. Don't allow darkness to come into your life. You know, that's what elders are for. I read Polycarp's letter to the Philippians, and I came under conviction. Polycarp said, elders, be sure you visit the sick, the poor, and the widows. He said, that's your job. It ain't to run the church. It ain't to be the administrator. That might be part of it sometimes. But he said, always visit the sick, the poor, the widows, and those who have wandered away from the faith. He said, go after them. Pray for them. And he said, elders, you need to continue in prayer and fasting that you be not tempted to do evil. But God will deliver you from sin. You can tell I don't fast. I'm not being flippant. I read that and that hit me like a ton of bricks. Here's an elder saying, if you're an elder in the church, this is your job. Now, I do hospital calls if I find out you're sick. Sometimes I'll come to your house and see you. But Polycarp saying, elder, your life is the church. Your life, your time, your talents, your money, oh, there's that word, should all be wrapped up in the church and to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. He warned the elders, don't you let heresy come in, because God will require that from you. My goodness, what a charge. And he was burned at the stake for refusing Christ. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we invite you to become one. What do I do? Peter said, repent. That means change your mind. Be baptized. Be immersed in the water of baptism, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're here today and you're away from the Lord and you know it, don't leave here without settling that. He is faithful and just to forgive you for your sins if you'll confess and forsake them. I like to put that in there. Too many preachers are telling you today, well, just say you're sorry and that's fine. That's not what the Lord said. Would you come as we sing our song of invitation, please?
For you and the world, come home.
Pancreatic cancer. His brother has asked that the church be praying for Lee. He's a young man, very hardworking young man, but found out he's got some pretty bad cancer. So the family's been asked for prayer. Do you remember to pray for those on our bulletin? That's why we put those names there. That way, if you're in the habit of prayer, you flip that over and pray for them. Oftentimes, I write my prayer requests down. When I know I'm going to pray, I sit and think, what do I need to pray about? And I'll write it down so I don't remember. Or don't forget. As far as I know, we're having church tonight. I haven't heard anything different. So Dr. Mark will be teaching. All right, see you.
I'm just sitting on that stool teaching.
All right. So please come back tonight. Hear more of the word. But whoever has the closing prayer, please close the prayer for us.
In the eye of the storm, to remain at the core, in the middle of the war, you found my soul. You love my nature, you feel my core, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, eye of the storm, to remain at the core. Middle of the war, we found my soul. You don't love me anymore. The dead of our core, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.